Good morning. What a glorious morning it is for our Earth Day service. Welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, known as FPC to our members and friends. We are a welcoming spiritual community. My name is Ruth Lull, a member of our Climate Change Task Force. The Reverend Cindy Landrum is our minister, and she is with us today. If this is your first time at an FPC service, we welcome you. We invite you to check out our webpage, fpc-stowe-acton.org, for news and information. When we can all meet together physically again, you are also welcome to sign our guest book and take literature from the church life table at our coffee hours. Following the service, for those here by video or phone, you are invited to join us for a virtual coffee hour, where we will arbitrarily put you in a small group with 4 to 6 other people with whom you can chat. Our virtual coffee hour discussion groups will last about 15 minutes. Those in our parking lot are invited to get out and chat with each other at the end of the service, but we ask that you maintain a social distance of at least 6 feet and that you do not gather in groups larger than 10 on any side of the building. Reverend Cindy will also invite you to honk horns at the end of the postlude. Children are welcome to our service today. For more information on religious education gatherings and events, please contact our Director of Religious Education, Michelle Cote.
Thank you, Ruth. Our call to worship this morning are words by the Reverend Lori Gorgas Hlaban. She writes, "In the sand and grass and ground cover and the leaves, seeds, and blossoms that fall from the trees all year long, in the tall pines reaching for the heavens and the live oaks stretching both up and down and out and twisting this way and that, in the soft breeze that brings the scent of salt water and the jasmine to tickle our noses and whips dust and hawks above in the egrets in their rookery, the snakes lurking beneath piles of brush, the jewel-toned lizards of various shapes and sizes, and the maddening horde of stinging, biting, annoying insects. In the rivers winding through the land and the oceans lapping and crashing along the shore, tide rising and falling to mark the passage of time. In these sea islands, home to peoples and cultures long before the Europeans found their way here, long before people were kidnapped from Africa to be brought here, these ancient islands that have grown and shrunk, changed and endured beneath the vastness of the sky, floating on our earth home. What of these would we not name as holy? This planet, our home, earth, water, fire, and air, holds us as a loving parent cradles a newborn, sustains us in ways we cannot do for ourselves, inspires us to pay attention, to witness its great and terrible beauty, and know ourselves to be connected to it all. Come, let us worship together." Our chalice lighting words are going to be read by Marcia Rising. They're by Amit Ray. And I'm going to light the chalice here in our sanctuary. I invite you, if you have one, to light your chalice at home as well.
As we light this chalice today, I bring you these words. Earth rejoices our words, breathing, and peaceful steps. Let every breath, every work, and every step make the Mother Earth proud of us.
And now I invite Michelle Cote, our Director of Religious Education, to give some words that are a message for all ages for us today.
So I've been doing a lot of reading when I've been home. And one of the books that I just read was called What the Wind Knows, and it was by an author named Amy Harmon. It was a very different kind of book, not my usual kind of book, but there was a couple passages that really, really struck me. Mostly because I have this idea that the earth can talk, that stones and rivers and all of those can be personified. So this passage that I found in the book, I read over and over again to me, and I adapted a little for today's message. "Where did the stories of the earth come from, Grandpa?" said Annie. "The wind and the water know, child. know what? The wind and the water know everything, little one. The wind you hear is the same wind that it has always blown. The rain that falls is the same rain, over and over, round and round, like a giant circle. The wind and the waves have been present since time began. The rocks and stars, too, but the rocks don't speak, and the stars are too far away to tell us what they know. But they can't see us, Grandpa. No, probably not. But the wind and the water know all the earth's secrets. They've seen and heard all that has ever been said or done. And if you listen, they will tell you all the stories and sing every song. The stories of everyone who has ever lived, millions and millions of lives, millions and millions of stories. As I read this passage, and I reread it many times because it just moved me, I began to wonder what stories the wind and the water know of how we've treated the earth. I wonder if their stories have been filled with sadness as they see our earth changing in ways that are not good for us. I wonder if they speak with gladness again when they hear that our youth are standing up and speaking up and changing our earth for the better. I wonder if in the future their stories will be of how we worked together to make our earth a cleaner, greener space. I wonder if the water and the waves will tell our children stories filled with joy. The wind and the water will know. They will know and tell all the stories of how we chose to treat each other and our earth. Let us then continue to work together to create stories filled with meaning and difference for us, our children, and their children, and ultimately for our earth. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Our words for prayer are abridged from a United Nations Environmental Sabbath service. We who have lost our senses and our sense, our touch, our smell, our vision of who we are, we who frantically force and press all things without rest for body or spirit, hurting our earth and injuring ourselves, we call for a halt. We declare a Sabbath, a space of quiet, for simple being and letting be, for recovering the great forgotten truths, for learning how to live again. We have forgotten who we are. We have alienated ourselves from the unfolding of the cosmos. We have become estranged from the movements of the earth. We have turned our back on the cycles of life. Now the earth is barren, the waters are poisoned, the air is polluted. Now the forests are dying. And the creatures are disappearing, and the humans are despairing. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for the gift of remembering. We ask for the strength to change. We join with the earth and with each other to bring new life to the land, to restore the waters, to refresh the air, to renew the forest, to protect the creatures, to celebrate the seas, to rejoice in the sunlight, to sing the song of stars. We join with the earth and with each other to create the human community, to promote justice and peace, to remember our children. We rejoice in all life. We have the privilege of seeing and understanding. We have the responsibility of caring. We have the joy of celebrating. We are full of the grace of creation. We are graceful. We are grateful. May it be so. Amen.
Marion Scott and I will do a reading by Denise Levertov. She was a Russian, German, Welsh, American, Hasidic, Anglican, Catholic, who non-surprisingly considered herself a citizen of the world. She was a political activist and a poet. Well, the poet is called Beginnings. But we've only begun to love the earth. We've only begun to imagine the fullness of life.
How could we tire of hope? So much is in bud.
How can desire fail? We've only begun to imagine justice and mercy.
We have only begun to envision how it might be, to live as siblings with beast and flower, not as oppressors.
Surely our river can already be hastening into the sea of non-being.
Surely it cannot drag in the silt all that is innocent.
Not yet. But there's too much broken that must be mended.
Too much hurt we have done to each other that cannot yet be forgiven.
We've only begun to know the power that is in us. If we could join our solitudes in the communion of struggle.
So much is unfolding that must complete its gesture. So much is in bud.
Thank you to Mary and Scott and Paula Reisberg for sharing that reading. And to all the other members, I should say, we have all these different participants today who are members of our climate change task force. And thank you all for participating this morning. Our offering this month is shared with Rhea House, that helps women who are in or escaping slavery, trafficking, to have the support to come out of that life and into freedom. So now we have a special statement from the Climate Change Task Force, and to tell you more about it and to share the statement, Peter and Faye Cordone.
The congregation will be asked to vote to approve the following climate threat statement at the next annual meeting. The members of First Parish Church of Stone Act acknowledge the warning from the scientific community that climate change is caused by carbon emission due to human activities. These carbon emissions are causing extreme weather and pose a threat to human existence on Earth in this century. We also acknowledge that the adverse effects of climate change are often experienced by poorer peoples and communities of color in the United States and other countries, even though they contribute least to its cause and are least able to cope with its effects.
Our Unitarian Universalist principles, including our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, directs us to acknowledge that humans are destroying the habitat that all living creatures, including us, need for survival, and calls us to act on personal, local, and national levels to adopt practices that will reverse carbon emissions in a just and equitable way. Given the urgency of the crisis we face, our congregation commits to achieving net zero carbon emissions and total sustainability from all congressional activities by 2035.
Thank you. They said it's something that's going to be voted on at our next annual meeting by the congregation to pledge us to achieving net zero by 2035 as a congregation. And we'll have more opportunities for discussion and to ask questions coming up between now and the annual meeting. So, 50 years ago, Earth Day was created, shortly after I was born. And I meant to say thank you to everybody for all the birthday wishes this week. Shortly after I was born, on April 22nd, 1970, 20 million Americans joined together in protest across the country. This week, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And over these 50 years, unfortunately, things have gotten dramatically worse for our Earth. Despite 50 years of environmental awareness and activism, we're on a path of climate change that is dramatically worsening. And so we need Earth Day right now more than we have ever before in my lifetime. Right now, 50 years later, we are in a moment of crisis, but it is also a moment of hope. And most importantly, I think it is a moment of opportunity. So first, a few words about the crisis. Here's some fast facts from Interfaith Power and Light. 2019 was the second hottest year on record in the United States. 18 of the 19 hottest years on record have occurred since 2001. That's almost every year for the last two decades has been one of the hottest years on record. And extreme weather is becoming more severe and more frequent. Those are just a few of the facts that we could toss out about the devastation that's being wreaked upon our Earth. Think about the fires we've seen, such as the ones that ravaged Australia last summer, the animals that are going extinct, the rainforests depleted, the polar ice caps melting. As a result of the facts I cited, a lot of things are at risk. Our food and water supplies are threatened. Oceans are at risk, becoming more acidic and threatening the ocean, animal, and plant life. We have trash islands floating in our ocean. Life on this planet at every level is at risk. Despite the fact that we are in a crisis, we are also in a moment of hope. In the midst of this pandemic, there have been surprising good things happening, some of these in the areas of climate change. Some stories, sadly, that you're hearing don't pass a fact check. So if you've heard that children in certain countries are seeing stars for the first time or seeing the mountains nearby for the first time, or that dolphins and swans are appearing for the first time in years in the canals of Venice, these are fake news. The dolphins were someplace else that were photographed. The swans have always been there. But it is true that smog is lifting and that waters are running clearer a bit. One, despite the fake stories we've seen, one big story is true. We have seen a decrease in pollution across the globe as air traffic and automobile traffic decreases greatly. We have no idea by the end of this pandemic how much pollution we have been saved, but we do know that it is making a difference. And there are some other things we've learned through this time as well. We've learned that there are a lot of jobs that can be done efficiently and well by telecommuting, thus saving commuting miles and the associated damage to the environment. We've learned that there are a lot of business deals and small conferences and large conferences and committee meetings and other events that people would be flying to across the country that are able to be done by video conferencing. We've learned that a lot of the trips we were taking, whether across town or across the world, were avoidable. The other thing we've seen that gives us hope at this moment is the rapidity of change. Our society has mobilized quickly to change its ways. We've discovered very quickly how to keep things going in our society while most of us stay home. The government has mobilized quickly to pass needed legislation. Corporations have mobilized quickly to change production from luxury items to the items most needed, such as medical supplies. We've seen that rapid change is possible on a personal level and on a societal level. Last week, I said that we were in an Easter moment in this country, a moment of hope and a moment of opportunity. The Easter moment was a moment of surprise amidst a rough reality, a moment where the followers of Jesus turned from despair at the loss of their leader to the radical belief that the change he preached about, the changes of the end of empire and the protection of the most vulnerable people, these changes were not only possible, they were achievable. They awoke on Easter to a time of opportunity. We are in that Easter moment of hope and opportunity now for our climate. The forces of global capitalism, the forces of empire, they are strong. They are dedicated to promoting their goals, which are wealth and power. But we are living in a moment where people are recognizing that quick and extreme change is possible. And that gives us an opportunity. But what has to happen now is that we have to seize that opportunity, because the forces of empire certainly will. They are already conceiving of this moment as an opportunity to roll back environmental regulations in the name of jumpstarting our economy, in the name of capitalism. We cannot let that happen. Rather, we have to mobilize for change and demand that what comes out of this pandemic isn't a drive for capitalism and production at any cost, but rather a green revolution where we take the opportunity to rebuild our society in a greener way. It's been easy to be pessimistic about climate change. The problem is so big The power we have as individuals is so small. We have been talking about this for 50 years, and things are worse now than they were ever before. It's been easy to be fatalistic, to believe that this is basically a doomed earth. But now, in the midst of this pandemic, I feel hope like never before. I feel a certainty that a new day is dawning, that change is possible like never before on this issue. It will not be easy. We were supposed to be having a week of dramatic protests this week. This was going to be a time when people took to the streets for climate change, where we disrupted the status quo, shut down traffic, shut down trains to bring about climate change, to bring about awareness and demand for change to the destruction we're doing to our climate. And we can't get out there and show our demand for change with mass gatherings of people right now. So we have to do this creatively. We have to keep the pressure on our government and our corporations right now to make changes and make them permanent. At the same time as fighting the efforts of those same groups to roll back what environmental protections we already have. You can't let the fact that we are in our homes quarantined this Earth Day keep us from taking action. We can't let this moment slip away. We have to take action at a personal, community, and societal level. At a personal level, we cannot afford to slip back into our same patterns after this epidemic has ended. If we all celebrate the lifting of quarantine by hopping on a jet plane and making up for all the lost travel and by consuming more ever than ever before once we're able to go out shopping freely, the progress we made during this time will all be for nothing. Instead, we have to keep some of the changes we've made going. We need to commute less, to travel less, to consume less than we did before. At a community level, we need to keep working in our community and state. We need to keep on with efforts we had going before, like ban the bag efforts, like climate change legislation at the state level. And we need to take real action as a congregation, too. We need to dig into this proposal from our climate change task force and really examine what it would mean for our congregation to become a greener place. What does it mean for how we do church? What can we do differently here that will impact our climate in a positive rather than negative way? We don't know the particulars yet of what it will mean for us to get to net zero as a congregation, and we're not prescribing a certain path, but we need to embrace the goal. And then there's our societal level. When we can safely do so, we need to take to the streets again, but we need to add our voices to social media campaigns now, to lobby our legislators now, to let our government and corporations know now that we are watching them right now and that they need to grow out of this moment in green ways. If our government is trying to boost our economy by creating jobs, we need to insist that they be green jobs. If they're trying to boost industry, we need to make sure that that aid that they're getting is paired with environmental demands, not environmental rollbacks. As we get back to work, we need to argue for things like four-day work weeks and working from home more often and other structures that will help to continue to cut commuting. As a recent New York Times article writes, quote, "There is another world in which policymakers and politicians planning for economic recovery decide to make building a carbon neutral society a priority. Because while the new reality could easily drain political will and funding from efforts to address the climate crisis, it would also inject a sense of urgency. It could also inject a sense of urgency at a time when politicians are suddenly willing to spend vast sums of money." The New York Times says, in this world, governments would create meaningful jobs in areas such as education, medical care, housing, and clean energy with an emphasis on shovel-ready projects that put people to work immediately, end quote. Right now, we need to be reaching out to our legislators, insisting that every coronavirus stimulus package have an environmental bent. Insist that when we are putting people to work and rebuilding our economy, we are doing it in a way that saves our earth. We may not be able to take to the streets right now, but we can take to the phones. We can take to the internet. We can call and talk to our legislators and lobby for the world we want to see. So, happy Earth Day, friends. May we seize this Earth Day and take this opportunity. The world is going to change now. What we can do is to help it guide in the direction of the change we need to see. May it be so. The poet Mary Oliver asks, What will you do with your one wild and precious life? Seize the day, friends. This week, let's seize the day and take our lives in the purpose of saving this earth. May it be so.